welcome to Chai with Samdosa. In my episodes, I have a great heart-centered conversation with my guests. They are in a diverse population around the world. So enjoy and have lots of fun. Please get in touch if you'd like to be on my podcast as well. Bye for now. Welcome to Chai with Samdosa. This is your host, Samdosa. And as I said earlier or in my previous podcast, I bring amazing individual from a different walk of life. Not only from one part of the world, everywhere from the world. I think today I got a person from India. Her name is Priyanka Lanka. And she is ICF Certified Life and Leadership Coach. She has several amazing distinctions, I would say. And she's a master trainer and she's a business psychologist. You name it, she has got that education. She is a master in human resources administration as well. So without I wait, I think I would prefer Priyanka to do a justice and tell us exactly her journey and tell us who Priyanka is and what's her purpose in this transient world.
Namaste, everyone, and thank you, Sam, for giving me this opportunity. In my introduction, I think I am a person with very deep-rooted integrity as well as an opportunity to look things positively. This has hailed from the culture which I hold, and this has also given me an opportunity to get some professional accreditations, which starts from ICF to human resource and to be a part of some business psychologists. Apart from that, I have also done few courses and professional certifications in human resource management. So these are all my professional accreditations. And currently, I'm also associated with National Institute of, Government of India National Career Service, wherein during COVID, there are a lot of unemployment which has been generated. And people are really depressed and feeling and anxious. So I'm helping the government for COVID depressions as well as career counseling in part of as a government agent.
Oh, wow. So, that's beautiful. Yeah. So what's your purpose? Besides you got so many accolades and you got so many accreditations from very renowned institutes locally as well as internationally. What is your pure purpose? You said you serve. Yeah, that is built in you as a woman. Because you are a mother, you are a wife, you are a sister, you are a daughter. What exactly? I just wanted to understand, you know, everybody has their why. What is your why, Priyanka?
Yeah, I think the answer of my why I have discovered in the very recent phase of my life, wherein I was understanding that there is much more than myself. Like when I am in service of others, when I can really help and transform, that moment is so energetic and so full of vibrations that I really felt that I'm doing something which I really wanted to. So transformation is something which really drives me. I have seen how I myself has transformed from what I was and who I am right now. So this transformation has given me conviction that if I can change, anybody can change.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
Giving a positive life, yeah.
That's amazing. So give us a bit about your professional journey. So you are a trainer, you are a coach, So in what area of business or in corporate, what sort of training do you deliver and how that evolve, whether is some specific topics you go for or is bespoke?
Mm-hmm. So usually I started my journey as a trainer by giving topics which is on very traditional topics, as well as it's more of a training, like a skill training. You have 1, 2, 3 points. You can train the person and the person can learn and execute. That's it. I was getting lots of accomplishments and lots of accolade in that. But there's some part of me which was not really satisfied. And I really felt that it's after the training, I feel like it's all about me. You know, the people come and give a claw pause. And I feel like it's not what I really want. The training should be that after the training, the trainees should feel that, wow, am I that resourceful? Am I that amazing person? I have not seen myself like this way. So the trainer's responsibility is to give a lens which the person never hold. And that's the transformation I'm talking about. So as a coach, and right now, when I train people, it's all about them. And I try to give some scientific, some neurological, as well as psychological reasons why they should change the existing behavior. And when they hear those scientific terms, they really understand and correlate with their existing life, the conviction is much more higher. And because it is all about them and their families and their relationship, the chances of their transformation is much, much higher. So that's what I feel is the journey that I have traveled.
That was amazing how you explain and the journey between A to B or B to C, because sometimes what happens, people talk about plans. So plan A or plan B. So in your view, do you think that we have 26, because alphabet has 26 letters. Do you think mm-hmm. we have 26 plans? Can we do 26 plans in our journey?
I think we can. It's just that we need to be open, we need to be accepting what is coming, and maybe to see from a different perspective, because what we can see is the only one dimension. There are 26 might be other dimension which we are not aware of, and the plans are coming from other dimension. So maybe there is no harm exploring that.
True, because sometimes what people talk about is plan A and plan B. And then they will say plan C, but then they don't go further down. And I used to say, is a growth mind, or is there is a there are two sets of mind, whether you have a stagnated mind or a growth mind. So people have a growth mind, they can start looking at a completely different periphery of things and everything, and look at completely differently. So you know, you must have encountered several people in several dimensions and talked to several other people in terms of training, coaching. Did you ever encounter a person which you think is not coachable?
I think the prime philosophy of coaching lies in that people are okay. I mean, people whosoever they are, they are absolutely okay the way they are. And the hardest thing to accept is, am I okay? The only support as a coach, if I can give, is to understand that, look, whatever you are, whosoever you are absolutely okay. I think there is the point wherein the person become coachable. So all the person are coachable, and all human beings have this amazing tendency to use all the resources, whatever they have, mental and physical. And that is even justified by the science of neuroplasticity, which describes that yes, the human brain can, you know, expand and look out another areas. So yes, I think all people are coachable.
Because the distinction between a person who is coachable or not coachable, which you said about the neuroplastic, about defining that, is individual willingness, I would mm-hmm. say, to be ready. Because somebody is working in a company for last 25 years, sitting in the same place for 25 years, he must be a person who have gone through with a significant journey in that company and been reached to that level where he can't go further because he might not have that inner light to pursue further career change or something like that. But he stagnated on that journey for 25 years. But now, as we are going in this COVID situation and people are looking at it, that I've been working for that company for 30, 35 years or 25 years or 10 years, for example. But now company is looking at it whether to keep those people or give them a, they're not giving them a redundancy, they are just saying goodbye. For the 10 years, now if you will say to me that Sam, the person who is coming out from that 10-year period is looking at a different career or checking it out that what is outside available to him, it's going to be a daunting part for restructuring the entire thought process. So that's what I was, my understanding was that people are coachable or not coachable. It's not that not everybody is coachable, but are they ready to be coached? Because sometimes when you meet people, they says, yeah, I want to be your coachee or mentee. And when you give them a certain instructions, they can't follow it through. Then you know that they are not yet not ready for it to be coached. Yeah. And it's everybody's different journey. I'm not putting everybody, because I've been through my own journey as well. I was stagnated in a company for 10 years for my personal reasons, because my children were young. And I thought that might be a right thing for me to do until my children get to that age where I will start looking at my careers as well. All right. So everybody has a different journey. But I have met several people who have been sitting in the company for 25 years. And now they're coming out from that company and they haven't got to know about their own values. Because when we talk about values, what is your value? What is my value? And when I ask them, what is your value? This is certainly completely different. They are talking about their company values. They are not know their own values because they never known about their own values. They have been working in that company for the last 25 years. And they only known about those values. So meeting a lot of people in your career, in your profession, you know, you meet so many in a senior positions, not very senior positions. There is a big hierarchy difference. So how do you, as a woman in living in India, how do you tackle that hierarchy? How do you connect with those people?
I think when it comes to the gender part, irrespective of geographical areas, there is apparently distinctions. And some part of the world gets noticed and some part couldn't. So I don't think India has any role in it. Mm-hmm. However, yes, about the gender, I would say only with the progressive internalization and awareness about self has given me this confidence power that these issues do not really come in my way of reaching out to them, or maybe they reaching out to me. Having said that, I would not deny that it was there in the initial part of my profession. But the more I learn about myself, I understand that it was more about me and my understanding and my perspective about the other gender, It's never about them. And because I had a perspective and a pre-notion about them, I started taking and picturizing the entire scene differently. The moment I changed my mindset and brought it to myself only, I think the entire story has changed. And, I have seen, experienced myself as no gender biased, and people are approaching, and so that I think is the journey that is also one of the integral part of me.
Amazing. So I think it brings us to this emotional intelligence piece, where the five component plays a significant role in each individual as well as in the corporation. Because the leadership has to understand the emotional side of themselves first. So mm-hmm. the five component, as we talk about self-awareness and self-regulation, motivation and the empathy, and then social skills, these are quite a significant pillars in individual's journey as well as in the organization, and how you take that as the key essence mm-hmm. to build yourself. Sure. So in terms of self-awareness, that is the first pillar of emotional intelligence. Yeah. In your capacity, is that very important for our youth or people who are in that sort of a journey where they are finding it difficult to understand a lot of things happening around them? And when we talk about something positive, people always look at the negative side of things instead of looking at the positive, because everybody goes through their own journey.
Yeah.
And you are lucky enough that you have a job in this COVID-19. I'm lucky enough I have a job in this COVID-19, but there are thousands and millions of people. Yesterday I was on the call, and he said he was talking to a minister in London. He was talking to a minister who says by December we will have 3 million people jobless in the UK. In the UK. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine how it's affecting so many people, and what you are doing right now with the help of the government that helping, and it's so many people are going through with uncertainty about their mental health as well with this. So bringing back to this EQ or EI, emotional intelligence, do you think we should be using, or you should be understanding those five components rigorously in embedding into our children as well, so they can understand what emotional intelligence is, so they can become more congruent to their feelings and everything else?
So while I was listening to you right now, I think you also somewhere agree that yes, it should be a part of. I could really resonate with you that absolutely, without question, without doubt. Because I have seen the people who are less skilled, got out of job, still happy, still leading a contented life. And people who are still earning well, really working hard 12 hours a day, and lying down on their bed, absolutely strained, with lots of stress, with diabetes and all the ailments in their body. Having these two scenarios, I would definitely agree that only the emotional stability is something which can really save human being. And in this COVID pandemic, this has really given us a validation once again that no amount of money, no amount of social status is going to help us if we are not immune physically and mentally. So we have to be taken care of about our mental health and physical health. And I think this is the best time when we should learn this, that high time we have to change the educational standards, we have to change the societal standards of the norms, because it is forcing us to see things differently. And if not now, then when? The good part is the society and the corporate and the education, they all three are really thinking radically and coming out of their original norms or the old norms. So that's the positive thing that is also I have seen being in close association with government and the educational institute. So I'm quite hopeful that things will come out.
There's one element which I think we should talk about is mindfulness. You know, we are going through with this COVID-19, and then we talk about emotional intelligence. Mindfulness also plays a very significant role within the,
Welcome to Chai with Samdosa. In my episode, I have a great heart-centered conversation with my guest. They are in a diverse population around the world. So enjoy and have lots of fun. Please get in touch if you like to be on my podcast as well. Bye for now.
In the scriptures and within every scriptures, there is a mental, you need to calm yourself down and go into the solace of your own journey. And mindfulness is the first step to go to that level of understanding. And I talk about this a lot in my other podcasts as well, that we got 24 hours, 834,000 seconds in a day. And when I said to people that taking out 600 seconds, you can't take it out. Yeah?
Yeah.
6 minutes to 100, I'll talk about 1,000 seconds, which is 10 minutes, I would say, 10, 12 minutes. So do you think that sitting in this sort of a mindfulness will give you a bit of a breathing, because we are human being and we also need to our mind to calm down to make right decision as a leader?
Yeah.
What's your thought on that?
Yeah, absolutely. That the mindfulness and being aware of taking a pause and looking at self, like, what is happening to me? Can I really take a pause and check back? Like, okay, I get hurt. Can I just take a pause and look back? So I think that is the moment wherein I can take a mindfulness. It's not, you know, like a yoga or any other practice. In the morning, I have to take 10 minutes, and in the evening, I have to take 10 minutes. And more than mindfulness, I feel like it should be mindlessness. You know, we think so much that mind is always full. So I think it's a time that we should rest our mind and call it mindlessness. Can I be just mindless for 10 minutes? Well, and not think.
That's the way we can look at it. But that's when we talk about mindfulness is more geared towards, you know, calming or shutting down a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because if you can, mindlessness will be completely, you will be, I don't know how you're going to feel about it. Because when you talk about calming your mind, means you are taking all the toxicity from your mind out. Yeah. And become congruent as well. Self-awareness and mindfulness work hand in hand, because you becoming understanding of your breathing, your five senses started to enhance itself, because once you started to know yourself, you have those emotions which get become very in tune with people's energies as well.
Yeah.
So you started to feel, and you must have experienced that if you wanted to talk to your husband on the phone, and suddenly his phone came, your phone started ringing, and he says, "I was just thinking about you." So that is the congruence of your instant connection with that mind you are, because we are all connected on energy level. We are all human being connected. And you must have heard about it that when you say, "I want to pray for somebody," and you're praying for somebody, and that person getting healing because your prayers are being received by that person. So this is quite a area of understanding. But because when we talk about those sort of things in the corporate environment, people might not take it as seriously until they will experience those things. Yeah. So that's another area we can go into and dive into. But I would like to understand from your HR training, like you do human resources training, which areas of human resources training which is impacting at this present moment? Are you doing online training at the moment?
Yes, so I'm doing a lot of webinars and all the Zoom meetings. Some of them are related to the COVID pandemic and the depression and the anxiety. Some of them are related to the setback to come back, which is majorly focused towards how to prepare ourselves for coming back to the job market much more fiercely, because there are a lot of differences in the job market. So the traditional approach of creating a CV and creating a cover letter, waiting for the portals to, you know, notify us, these are the traditional method which might not be really applicable. So a lot of my webinars are intended to give some tips and strategies for a new job market and the resume creation. Few of the job webinars are also related to the self-awareness, which is for the leadership position, because they are truly handling lots of stress because of the work and work getting integrated at home, and home surrounding is integrated again in the work environment. So lots of stress which has prevailed, and it is the responsibility of the psychologist and the allied community to lend some ears. So some of the sessions are also related to the work-life balance. So as of now, these are the sessions which are mostly prevailed.
That's quite interesting, because I think every government, every country is trying to bring something and something, and because a lot of people are going through with a potential danger, as I mentioned earlier, that almost 3 million people are going to lose their jobs, or they are going to be looking for. So there will be a lot of regression in people's life. There was one area which I would like to talk about is feedback, because I dwell upon feedback. If I say to people, give me a feedback or any constructive feedback, because I love people giving feedback, and whether it's a positive or whether it's a negative or whether it's an average feedback, I take on board those things, and that's how I develop myself, because that's how I look at it, life. That's how I look at my professionalism. That's why I look at it, whether what can help me to develop myself so I will be able to develop others. So what is your thought on that? And I would like you to talk about that acronym which you have shared on this video you shared on the LinkedIn.
Sure. And before I go ahead in that, I'd just like to mention, when you talked about different countries responding to this COVID situation differently, it would be an honor for me to talk about what India is doing. Because having this entire situation and considering the economical situation of India, we are doing lots of projects and lots of actions which are generating self-employment in the Indian youth. So there are lots of projects which are coming in, which are making Indian youth Atmanirbhar, self-dependent. So I just wanted this to come on this international platform. So it really made me proud.
Perfect. Can you give us a little bit more about that? Because I think sometimes when you are within that sort of connections, or whether you are within that sort of alignment with those agencies who are working towards those things, because I think those sort of things that people never heard about those things. Because when we talk about those sort of things and says, oh, well, I never heard about those things. So do share a little bit more about this, your government is doing to get people onto a completely different level.
So National Skill Development Council of India, NSDC, is one of the major prime body. Along with that, there are multiple smaller agencies which are working towards this initiative. And the initiative also entails to the housewives, to the unemployed, you know, the house and servants and the mechanic and the executive level, wherein people used to work with hands in terms of automobile industry, the supply chain industry, all those people who are really the workman level according to the Factory Act. So the government of India has initiated lots of project and given a good amount of financial sustenance amount to them. And to avail those sustenance amount, the qualification, the eligibility is also bare minimum. The idea is that even if a person is willing to be sustained, he or she should be able to get that. And for that, you won't even imagine that such platforms are made by Government of India. These are online platforms wherein people can really go and register and take out certain employment opportunities. The Government of India has also collaborated with online platforms like Amazon, Flipkart, and asking them to sell their handmade project. So for example, the artisan of Indian villages, so they are registering and selling out their products. And then on behalf of them, the Government of India is producing, promoting their products on a lot of different platforms. And I must mention that Bollywood has also a great impact on the Indian crowd. So they are also promoting these initiatives in a much larger platform, which is making a difference. So these are some of the notable, I think, initiatives which Government of India has taken this time.
Wow, that's beautiful, because I think it's all about every little help, because as we talk about certain degree where when you are emotionally content, when you are emotionally congruent with yourself and the feelings, and then you are completely engrossed with yourself, you are very contented. But when you're looking at other people who have everything but they are not contented, this is those two different factors in individual lives that comes through. But what the government is doing, an exceptionally beautiful thing. And I really applaud them for that doing it, because every government should be taking responsibility for their people. So let's go back onto the part of feedback or constructive feedback, because you must have gone through with your own journey as well, when people have given you feedback about your presentation or about your own delivery, and how did you take it?
So I think because we are having this heart-to-heart communication, it's my responsibility to share the truth. Yes. And in the initial part of my profession and my personal life, I think there was a challenge in me that while accepting feedback. And the whole reason was the driver within me, which is perfectionism. Like, I used to do all my tasks perfectly according to my own standard of perfectionism. And when I do certain tasks perfectly, I used to feel that there is no need to give me feedback. Like, I'm so perfect. I'm so super. Lately, I realized that all these are my own perception. And in certain cases of my life, when I started accepting feedbacks positively, I have really seen how it really has impacted me significantly. And that was the point wherein I started looking back all the decisions wherein I have not taken the feedback in the positive light. And when I connected the dots, I could see that there is a trend. And the trend was that, there was some challenge in feedback acceptance, and I came up with this idea of accepting feedback when the feedback is even destructive. So how to accept that destructive feedback? So I've been reading these books on transactional analysis, and there is a mention by Dr. Aman Bhosle, who has written this book. So he has come up with this formula of NEAR, which is NEAR. So he explains that even if you have received a destructive feedback, just go and narrate the entire incidents to the person with whom you felt hurt. So for example, let's say if my husband says that you didn't cook well today in front of the guest. So maybe, you know, just attacking on him, maybe I can just say that when you pointed out in front of all the guests. So without manipulating the facts, if I just narrate the entire incidents to him, possibly he will listen to me, the entire incidents. And then I will talk about my own emotion instead of, why were you angry? Didn't you like my food? You know, instead of assuming things, why don't I talk about my own emotion? So the, then comes the E of near, which is state the emotion. So I'll emote myself like I felt embarrassed because it was in front of guest. And then I will add the alternative behavior. So instead of pointing out in front of everyone, if you could have, you know, just pointed out in private, then comes the result. So I would have felt really happy. I would have that you are very sensitive towards me. So this alternative behavior will give me alternative result. So it's my responsibility to give the entire picture to the other person that how the entire situation could have turned differently if you would have done alternative behavior with certain actions which are changed. So I think that's the way of giving a feedback and receiving a destructive feedback and giving it back.
That's quite interesting, the way it's been described in the book which you have read, and he's took it in a completely different perspective of how where people can receive and give two ways and understand those sort of things. If you have heard about Socrates' triple filter. So triple filter is all about when somebody says to you, let's say, for example, if your husband come to you and say to you, oh, I heard something about your sister, and you will be getting completely confused. And then before he say anything, you have to say, okay, before you tell me about my sister, I want to go for a triple filter with you. The information which you're going to give me, is it true or false? And the information which you are going to pass on to me, whether you heard from somebody who has given you that information, is it the authentic information or not? And then the third question is, the information which you're going to give it to me, will it help me or will it destroy me? So the person will be very conscious that information passed through that three filter is right information, instead of you just blurt it out and you just hurt somebody. Because, you know, when we say emotional torture or emotional effect is more devastating than a slap on your face.
Sure.
Because slap on your face will remain for about 5 minutes effect.
Yeah.
But emotional effect will be rest of your life.
Absolutely.
Right. So that's why when when you open your mouth, be careful what is going to come out from it.
Yeah.
Because that is like a blade which is so sharp that it will cut you through from your entire body and everything.
Absolutely.
Priyanka, that was a great discussion we had, and thank you for sharing so much wisdom with my audience. Would you please tell my audience how they can connect with you?
They can always go back to my LinkedIn account, which is Priyanka Karan Lenka, Priyanka Lenka. Mm-hmm. And there is a website of me, traintheta.com, TRAINTHETA. You can always find my YouTube videos on Priyanka Priyo.Karan, wherein I talk about all this relationship as well as leadership challenges. There is always a way to ping me, the WhatsApp number as well as email ID. I'll share it with.
Okay, so the information which you share within your document, I will post it on the description of this podcast. So this round is all about knowing Priyanka from an emotional side now. So I would ask you to tell us about your favorite dish. What do you really enjoy?
Okay, I enjoy rice and dal a lot.
Okay, that's my favorite. I was just telling my wife today, just let's make dal. And she says, our pressure cooker is broken, so I can't make dal. So it's okay. Once we will get another one. And what's your hobbies?
So my hobbies, I think it keeps changing. Earlier, I used to dance a lot. I am a classical dancer, but right now I'm not practicing anymore. Then some part of my life, I got a hobby of singing, and then I shifted recently, and during the lockdown, I started painting on leaves. So there are dry leaves on which I paint, and this is my current hobby, which I really enjoy.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. You should share some of the pictures which we can add it to this podcast as well. And the last thing, what sort of movies do you enjoy?
I certainly like these movies wherein psychological perspectives are given, and some different perspectives are given of looking at life differently. So one of the favorite movie.
Yeah, which is your favorite movie? Which one do you want to say?
So Tare Zameen Pe has really moved me. Then one of them, Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara, is again a great movie.
Any English movies besides Bollywood?
Gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Interstellar.
Yes, Interstellar is good.
All these.
Have you watched Divergent?
No, not yet. No.
Watch Divergent. And have you heard about there's one more interesting movie? It's not coming to my head at the moment, but it's also very psychologically. This one is, I think you might enjoy. It's called Fallen.
Fallen.
Denzel Washington's movie is about Lucifer, or we call it Shaitan. It's about how it transmit from one body to another body. You might enjoy. Yeah, that's a 1988 movie. But I was watching with my wife, and she says it's not for me, so I don't want to watch.
Okay.
So thank you, Priyanka, for being on my podcast, Chai with Sam Dosa. Guys, it's been an honor for me to have my neighbor. I'm from Pakistan. She's from India. So. And I'm in the UK, now she's in India. So I'm very privileged that I had this honor to have her on my podcast, where she has actually shared her amazing journey as well as her corporate life, as well as sharing some great wisdom and honesty, to be honest about how we all receive feedbacks as well. And we have to understand that feedbacks are not damaging things. Feedbacks are something which we have to learn from, because that's what makes us grow forward. Because otherwise, what's going to happen is, if somebody is not going to give you a feedback, and you will think about, oh yeah, I'm doing everything. And I want to add one thing: perfection is an illusion. Perfection is an illusion. When you shatter it, you will be free. So that's the quote I want to end this podcast with. And thank you very much one more time to Priyanka.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.